This is CliffCentral.com.
As I lay on the massage table, there were two sets of a dozen candles on both sides. The candles were the only light. The massage room was very intimate. It was my first time in Mumbai, India. The recommendation to get a dual two-hand massage came from the conference host. He says it's an absolute must. Do not leave Mumbai without having two incredible masseuses give you this massage. So as I laid there, the warm room had a sensual air to it. In my mind, I imagined two beautiful Indian ladies would walk in and begin an ancient art form that would completely transform my spine. As my mind wandered off, I fell asleep waiting for these goddesses. As I woke up, I felt four strange hands, and they were far from goddesses. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show exploring the link between brain power and brand influence. Today, we explore pleasure. What is pleasure? What role does pleasure play in how you navigate the world? And how do you use psychological principles of pleasure to engage people and consumers? Warning, this episode may alter everything you think about your relationships, personal and business. What happened to me during my massage in Mumbai several years ago inspired this research journey on the psychology of pleasure. Should the gender of the two masseuses matter? Surely, the ability to have the tension removed due to travel and career pressure was priority. Surely, their ability to work through the aches and pain should mean more than if they were a man or a woman. But when I arose from my sleep and saw two giant men, everything about the pleasure changed. In this podcast, I'll make a case there are two distinct levels of pleasure. One, the pleasure that's said. Two, the pleasure that's unsaid. In the case of my massage, the pleasure that was said before I went in was that I would get a life-changing healing massage with ancient origins, the surface stuff. Then there was the unconscious, unsaid dimension, that is a straight heterosexual man. The fact that there would be two female goddesses executing the body-altering exercise was an unsaid pleasure. Social critic Peter Berger terms this unsaid dimension the other reality, or what I call the other pleasure. In branding and the material world, it plays out as follows. Beyond the obvious luxury Jimmy Choo and Manolo Blahnik shoes bless the wearer with, it's the silent history of craftsmanship, mastery of artistic endeavor, and extraordinary creative discipline of the designer behind the brand that inspires women to walk taller while wearing these names, not just look of the shoe. Professor of psychology at Yale University and author of How Pleasure Works, Paul Bloom, argues it's the essence or the accumulated history of a brand that cements our relationship with the product, person, place, or thing. Essentially, another pleasure we get from personal and organization brands is derived from the perceived history oozing from them. Imagine you found out your favorite brand was accused of child trafficking or a personal brand you revere. Someone you want to be your mentor was accused of molestation. You would be so grossed out, and despite their potential to add value to your life, you would want to disassociate immediately. Even in art, a Picasso painting is both the aesthetic pleasure and the artist's history. Imagine you were given a Picasso painting worth $50 million and told 6 months later it was a fake. What would happen to the 6 months of pleasure? Even in intimate moments, how you experience pleasure may have little to do with the act of intimacy and more to do with the act of who it's coming from. Let's unpack this in a story. If you were camping on a beautiful dream island with your partner, who you love deeply, and on the second night of this trip, a group of you are camping next to a fire. And then all of a sudden, a gust of wind comes through and puts out the fire. It's now pitch black. Literally no light in this remote area of the island. In the darkness, your partner grabs you and begins kissing you. It's the most powerful, comforting, and incredible kiss of your life. Due to the riveting fear in the darkness, the kiss settles you. The darkness now feels safe. While in the middle of kissing, someone finds a torch and bright light comes over the group, and you discover the person you are kissing is not your partner. Does this take away the pleasure you felt during the darkness? In British aristocracy, the prince's story matters to who the prince marries, which is why Meghan Markle's story of divorce and mixed heritage inspired such riveting debate, and why the world got so excited. A woman who had been divorced from a mixed heritage could be royalty? If a Zulu male wants to marry a Zulu princess, the amount of lobola he pays to her family has little to do with how she looks or how much she loves him, but is primarily premised on her perceived value, social status, education, and other historical personal attributes, such as whether or not she's a virgin and has children. From a branding perspective, you can induce pleasure, trigger additional value for your product. If the shoes Nelson Mandela wore when he walked out of prison went on auction, they would undoubtedly bring in millions. The brogues thrown at former U.S. President George W. Bush at a press conference in the Middle East were perhaps worth approximately 500 rand before they were flung, but afterwards they became a defiant symbol of anti-Western imperialism, and the same shoes were reportedly sold for 80 million to a Saudi millionaire. I often overhear women doing a check on the other pleasure of their girlfriend's Louis Vuitton handbags by asking, is it real or is it fake? They are acknowledging that by appearance alone and practical purposes aside, they simply can't tell the difference. They are doing a pleasure check to decide if they should honor or frown on the bag's other reality. The story, history, and associations aligned to a person or product impact the unsaid dimension of pleasure. As humans, we are wired to relate to objects and people through their histories. If you understand the history of something or someone, it enables you to predict how it will behave or perform. The ability to predict equips the individual with a competitive advantage in this battle for survival. So there is no wonder that we would be wired to experience a boost in dopamine and positive chemicals when we learn about a history or story that will enable us to thrive in this journey called life. Put simply, if you're in the bush and you see a lion, understanding the history of what a lion can and cannot do will help you survive, versus not knowing that a lion is dangerous and running up to pet it will get you eaten alive. Conversely, if you see a diamond sticking out the dirt, and if you know the history of the diamond, it can make you a wealthy person, versus someone who doesn't know, walking right past it and missing out on a potential pleasure. Our unconscious mind also has a pleasure barometer. Our instincts and impulses are drawn towards fertile and beautiful people. Even when we are happily married or in a relationship, a committed relationship even, our senses continue to be drawn towards vitality, beauty, and strength. This is our biological instincts pushing us towards the pleasure of engaging healthy genes to promote the potential of a genetic journey. This is why psychologically healthy people cannot be sexually attracted to babies, parents, and siblings. You see, the chemicals for attraction are turned off in their presence because they do nothing to promote our genetic legacy. But in the presence of a person blooming with vitality, chemicals begin to flow, and it's only our values and convictions that regulate and stop us from making a move when we are in another committed relationship. Pleasure, said and unsaid. As individuals and organizations, it's important to connect with people's said and unsaid pleasures. Sex sells because even those who are in committed relationships want to feel sexy and feel that their genes matter. I'll go as far as saying if your product doesn't connect with the unsaid dimension of people's journey, you're at risk of being irrelevant and easily cheated on as a brand. People may say, "I love how this garment looks on me," the said. But if it doesn't make them come alive and appear full of vitality, the unsaid, the bond and loyalty from the brand won't be made. Unpack every person's said and unsaid desires and connect on both levels and see how much power and an influence you will yield over them. Thanks for listening. And please share this episode and rate the show. You know the story. We'll be back next week with the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.